hate it when he says that. Psalms chapter 30 and verse 4 said, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth for a moment. In his favor is life." In this last part, "weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord again. Say, "Thank you, Jesus. I worship you, Lord, through the weeping. I worship you, Lord, while I wait. I'll worship you, Lord, while I wait on you, God, for your goodness. For your goodness is great and greatly to be praised." Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I honor you, Lord Jesus, and I bless you today, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let me read just another set of scripture for you. You've been standing a long time, so I'll let you be seated for that one. 2 Kings 2:1. I'm not going to preach a lot out of this. There's just something here that I want to pull a thought out of. We'll read down through verse number 14. I know it's a little long, but it's a good read anyway. It's that guy that can always be preached about, Elijah, and I'm not going to preach much about him or Elisha, either one, but I just want to read it for background and a thought. It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here." If I could substitute a word, tarry means to wait. Stay here. Okay? Wait here. Wait here. "I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. The sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace." In other words, just be still, get out of my way. I'm attached to Elijah today. And Elijah said unto him, "Elisha, tarry here." Look at somebody and say, "Wait for it." "Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he answered, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace." And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan." And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. You know, I said I wasn't going to preach much on that, but man, I could, because you know what he's doing? He's retracing the steps of Israel coming into the promised land. He is retracing the steps of Israel coming into that promised land. He's going back. He's going back to where it all began. He does that often. Amen. When he ran to that cave that time and pouted and said, "Would to God that you would kill me in that cave," that's the mountain that Moses received the law on. He's always going back to those old places, those old paths. He's always revisiting how the elders came about, this thing came about. He's always going back. When it's time for a mighty move of God, he goes back to an altar that he knows and a place that he knows that God moved before. Friend, you need to get some times in your life that God takes you places. God takes you into high places. And suddenly when all hell breaks loose, if you could allow me that phrase, in your life, or even if God is moving and you don't understand what he's doing, you've got somewhere to go back to. Listen, you really should. We have youth conference, fall preaching conference, spring conference. We have those on purpose. I don't need that. Oh, be tough and be bad all you can. All you want, you do need it. Believe me, you need it. No, I don't. Hey, I watch your life. You need it. Will you think you do or not? You need it. And you need those places. You know how many young people received a call to ministry this weekend? This one was for youth. You know how many young people received something that they'll never, ever forget and they can go back to? Praise God. Let me go on. That's not my message. Where are we at? Verse 6. Elijah said, "Tarry ye, I pray thee, hear, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he said, "Nope, I won't do it." And they went on. And 50 of the sons, verse 7, of the prophets went, stood to view afar off, and they too stood by the Jordan, the two of them, Elijah and Elisha. Elijah takes his mantle off, which represents his anointing as a prophet, wraps it up together, and does a towel pop on the water. Pow! And the water goes whoop. And you think, you talk about popping towels. Anybody ever get in a towel fight? And you wet that end of that thing? You can leave whelps. You can almost draw blood. Brother Patterson go, uh-huh. you can really do it. Guys do that, especially in a locker room or something. Man, it can get vicious in there. Elijah takes that mantle. He does a mantle pop. And the Jordan River goes, whoo. It did that once before. Amen. It did that once before. And he walks back over. My goodness. I don't have any of this down. It's just rolling. You see, he's, come here, Jeremy. He's got this young guy following him. You can stay here. No, you're Elisha. Remember what he said? Uh-uh. You stay here. Still there. You stay here. I'm going to the Jordan. He gets to the Jordan. Still here. Hold it. Pulls off that mantle.
You're the Jordan? Well, you're a good thing your name's not Jordan.
Walk across. He just walks across. Yeah. I can just see him smile. That's good. Let's do it this way. Look at that. Dry land. You know what he just did to him? He put him in a place where he's got to see the miraculous of God to get back across. He put a younger generation in a place. Oh, God, would to God that I have the wisdom to put you in a place where you've got to see the miraculous of God to get back in the promises. You've got to see God move. You've got to see God. You've got to see and know that the God that was with Moses and was with the guy that's been teaching you is the same God that's with you. And the rest of that story is, here comes the chariot of heaven. It swoops down, picks up Elijah. He's gone. And as he's leaving, he tells Elisha, he asked for a double portion. You get this? He didn't ask for a double portion of the Spirit of God. He asked for a double portion of Elijah's Spirit. He said, "Man, you ask a tough thing. But if you see me leave, when I do go, it'll be done." And Elisha's down there, stare at me. I mean, yeah. Elisha's got his eyes on him, and whoosh, that chariot comes down and swoops him off his feet, and as he's lifting up out of the into the sky, he drops that thing on him. He's gone. Now he's got to cross the river to get back into the promised land. You got to cross the river. Can't swim. Can't dog paddle. Where is the God of Elijah? Whoosh. And he walks right back across. Amen. Hallelujah. It's too hot in here for that anyway. When he walked back out of there, you know what the prophets said? Those 50 that were standing there? They saw it. They saw it. They said the spirit of Elijah rest. They could see the spirit of Elijah on him. I don't know how it reads. I didn't have that in here because that wasn't part of my message. Shame on me. The title of my message is Wait For It. Elisha's been waiting for it. Go ahead. Emails, Facebook. You ever watch one of those things? It's this nice little serene thing on a computer screen. Watch this one. Watch it now. Watch close. Watch. Something might jump out of there and get you in a second. Turn it back on. Did you ever watch one of those? You know, somebody had one the other day, had a big old python snake. Do you see that thing? Laying over there on this log. And he's in a boat, and it looks like he's going to go over and whack it with a paddle or something. And he's just sitting there, and all of a sudden, something jumps out of that. And you know, I was watching it across the room from my wife, and she's laughing at me after I jumped. Wait for it. It's kind of like the blonde. Sorry. She's running 90 miles an hour. And out pulls a police officer, falls in, right, you know, lights flashing, pulls her over. He walks up, and he's one of those kind of just sauntered up and said, I've been waiting on you all day long. She said, I got here as fast as I could, officer. Sin seems to have brought with it times of waiting on God, waiting until the time was right, waiting until he could align people into certain places, waiting until the people would accept revelation of him and his purpose, waiting until men's sin level reached critical mass, waiting until man's capacity to fix it, to perform it, to get it done was long passed away. It's Noah waiting for 120 years while he's building an ark. It's Abraham and Sarah waiting for more than 20 years to have a baby. It's Jacob waiting 7 years to get Rachel, and then 7 more years, and then 6 years. It's Moses waiting 40 years thinking he's now's the time, and then gets banished to the backside of the desert and has to wait another 40 years. It's David waiting in excess of 20 years from the time of the anointing to the time to become king. And the wondering comes inside the waiting. The wondering, I wonder, will it ever get any better? I wonder if God really hears me. I wonder if healing will really ever come. I wonder if anxiety will leave. I wonder if depression will never find a home in me again. I wonder if I will ever be free of lust and our evil thoughts that plague my mind. In the time of waiting, we wonder. And we wonder and we wonder. I told you I'm not going to be long. I'm not. The disciples had waited. They had waited all their lives. Many generations of Israelites, of the Jews, had waited. More than 1,000 years they had waited for the promised Messiah. Their prophet Isaiah is 800 years before him, the one that prophesies that a virgin will conceive and bear a son. 800 years. If you go back to the time of the pilgrims, we've only been around 400 years here in this country. 800 years they have waited for a virgin to conceive and bear a son. 800 years they've waited for that child to be born, that son to be given, that would be called the government that would rest upon his shoulder, and he would be called the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Wonderful counselor. They've waited 800 years. They've waited. They may be fishermen. They may be tax collectors. They may be common businessmen, but they're Jewish businessmen. They're Israelites. They have waited. They know the promises of the Messiah. One would go get Nathanael and say, "We have found him of whom the prophets spoke." They knew about the prophets. Andrew would go get Peter, amen, and the different stories. "We have found him. We have found him that is the Christ." And they would come with doubting in their heart, and "How do you know he's the Christ?" And he would do some miracle, and they would say, "This truly is the Christ." And he would say, essentially, I'll put it in my words, "You ain't seen nothing yet." But they have waited, and they have waited, and they have waited. And then they walk with him now. They handle him for 3.5 years. Peter and John both would say that in their writings. "We felt him. We handled him. We knew him." The apostles were at a different level than anybody has ever been. They touched him. They camped out with him. They slept one on one side of him, one on the other side of him. They ate with him out of the same pot. They watched him personally break bread and feed thousands. They watched him walk on water. They watched him perform miracle after miracle after miracle. He was alone with them when he was not with a crowd. He was alone with them, and he taught them personally. They saw him in his resurrected body as well. They had saw all of these things. They had waited, and it seemed like they had waited, and their waiting was over, and then he was crucified. And then they had to wait again for 3 days. They waited, and then he comes out of the tomb, and he stands in their midst, and they're like, "He's back." That was a short wait. And then he tells them, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, "Be assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait." Oh, Lord. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for the promise of the Father. Oh, Lord, not this waiting thing again. Not this waiting thing again. Again, I've got to wait. He's putting me off again. I have longed for this for so long, and now I thought we had it. He was crucified. He left. They buried him, and then 3 days later, we got him back. And oh, it was such a rejoicing time, and we saw him. And we handled that resurrected body. He told us to. We ate with him. We watched him eat fish and bread in a resurrected body. And oh, it's so good. So good. And now he's gone again. And they watch him leave. And the angel standing there say, Why stand you here gazing? He'll come back just like he left. And so they go into Jerusalem and they wait. They wait the 40 days. They're there waiting. In Luke 24 and 49 says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And we know, did I give you Acts 2, 1 through 4? Put that, go there and get that and then put it up. I believe that we have good news if we'll listen to the Spirit of God today. Amen. I believe that, I know there's times when he's trying to do something in our lives and he still has to align things. I know his will and ministries and different things like that. Put Acts 2 and 1 up, row when you get it, and we'll go. But I know we have to wait. I know there's this period of time, and, and something, there's something about building faith in that period of time of waiting. But there's some things you don't have to wait for. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, let me insert something, the wait was over. They were all with one accord in one place. Verse 2, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Amen. Hallelujah. The wait was over. Suddenly the promise of the Father was upon them. Suddenly they had received what the elders had waited for and could not attain and could not receive. Suddenly what Abraham looked for, they had. Suddenly what Isaac had longed for, they experienced. What Jacob had wanted, they had now in the sight of their spirit. What David sang songs about and prophesied right in the middle of writing those songs, suddenly they had received it. Suddenly it was reality. Suddenly it was over. Suddenly, and I would preach to you this morning and tell you as you stand to your feet, the wait is over. If you need healing, it's here. If you need the Holy Ghost, it's here. If you need renewed in the Holy Ghost, it's here. If you need restored in the Holy Ghost, it's here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, it's here. We need to worship the Lord right now. We need to exalt God right now. Come on, just begin to worship the Lord. Come. The wait is over. If you've got something you need, let me slow down here just a second. If you've got something you need in your life, now, if there's a big ministry ahead of you in your life, you're going to have to wait and let God develop you. I get that. I understand it. But if there's a problem in your life right now that's not of God, you mean there'll be problems that are of God? There are a few around, but that's usually down the road somewhere. Okay, I don't even want you to confuse your mind with that right now. Issues in your mind, thoughts in your mind, things that you're thinking about that hinder you from His presence. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? Then I'll tell you what needs to happen. You need to begin to believe God and worship the Lord right now, because your answer, as the scripture said, is already on the way. The old songwriter said, amen, your answer is already here. You've just got to see it in your mind and begin to worship God for it. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. The wait is over. You've waited for it. It's here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, you need to see walls coming down in your life. You need to see walls. Walls that have developed in relationships. You need to see them coming down in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you need to see it. Come on, we need to keep worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait on anything. Come on, you need to see walls begin to tumble. Hey, kete arasai araha. He took him back by Jericho. He took him by Bethel. Bethel is the house of bread. He took him by Bethel first. And then he took him by the house of God, in Jesus' name. And then he took him by a past victory. He took him by walls that had crumbled before. And he took him by then by that fluid thing that runs past him that he can speak to and part it. Nothing shall separate us. Nothing can keep us from the work of God. Hallelujah.